You could also take that idea and sort of pump it up by hosting it as a mini candlelight Christmas Eve service where the Christmas story is read from the Bible or another book. You could pray for each other, for God to bless and prosper everyone in the new year, and express gratitude for God sending Jesus to us as the light of the world. That takes it to the next level. So it's a candlelight sing-along, and you're doing it on Christmas Eve, but you can tell people, hey, I know a lot of church communities aren't doing a Christmas Eve service this year. They can't. We're going to do a little mini one. And you just tell them, we're going to read the Christmas story. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to have the candles. We're going to pray for one another. You could say, we're just going to do it for about an hour. There again, I think it'd be very, very popular, and be surprised how many people a Christmas Eve service has been sort of their tradition and their thing forever, and they would thank you for it. It'll be a beautiful and simple little thing. And you can make it as simple or as elaborate as you wanted, right? And you could do it indoor, outdoor, depending on your comfort level or theirs, or, you know, any restrictions that are local or whatever have you.
Welcome to the Everyday Disciple podcast, where you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. In other words, discipleship as a lifestyle. This is the stuff your parents, pastors, and seminary professors probably forgot to tell you. And now, here's your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Hope your week is going good. We're getting pretty close now. We're almost to Christmas. I guess you might even be hearing this on Christmas, or it could have passed already, but when I'm recording it and when it's released, we're just about there. I am sure hoping that the holidays this year will help us, maybe at least here in the U.S., maybe around the world too, help us take a breath and relax and find a few things to be thankful for. It's been such a crazy year. There's been so much sort of turmoil and strife around politics and the election this year. I just hope we can all relax, maybe leave the news off for a few days or whatever, and just find some things to be thankful for as we start to kind of wrap up this year. I want to say thank you to you. Thanks for being a listener here, and a big Merry Christmas. Hopefully I'll remember to say that at the end, but I really appreciate you so much. I love doing this podcast. It's probably my favorite thing I get to do every week, and I hope that you're enjoying it as well. You know what I'd like for Christmas from you? I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. So wherever you listen to podcasts, you could do that. If you've been listening on our website, you can go to everydaydisciple.com/subscribe, and that'll give you links to, you know, the Apple Podcast thing and Spotify and all kinds of different players, depending on your device and what you prefer and what you like. And in most all of those, you can go ahead and subscribe. That way you're not missing any of the weekly episodes. And you know what else would be so great? Could you take the extra 10 or 15 seconds to share this episode with someone? If you go to our website, everydaydisciple.com, and you know, you can go to the episodes right there, there's little easy peasy share links. So I would love that. Here's a review that came in from Tim Brower. Tim left a review, and I know Tim. Tim's become a good pal over the last couple of years. Him and his wife, Anna, we're coaching with them, but they really have become family. He says, we're so thankful for the encouragement and practical gospel-centered teaching that is given each week on this podcast. My wife and I enjoy listening and discussing the topics. It's also a great resource to share with people looking for help in making disciples in everyday life. Thanks, Caesar. You're so welcome, Tim and Anna. I appreciate and love you guys. And again, you see, like, I know a lot of people are using the podcast as sort of part of their training. As they're training other people in their community, leaders in their church, small group, missional community leaders, people in their communities, to kind of get on the same page, continue to grow in their discipleship as a lifestyle and gospel fluency. They're using the podcast for that. They're listening to it, discussing it, all those kind of things. Maybe that will work awesome for you as well. Hint, hint. I would love it. All right. I want to get right into this list of ideas, 10 ways that we can be missional during the holidays around Christmas. And these are ideas for both family and friends, and you might be thinking, oh, it's a little too late. You'll see, it's not too late. And these will work for you individually or as a family or a missional community, and you can connect deeply with people and stay on mission during the holidays. You really can. And you'll still have time to do most of these as part of Christmas week, right? Or if you're hearing it and you're like, oh, Christmas is too close, or since most people the holiday really runs through New Year's Eve, you can always do some of these things in the week between the holidays too. Maybe not every one of them would seem appropriate, but many of them will. Or you can kind of plan for next year. You'd be way ahead, all right? Now, most of these 10 ideas have an outward focus. You know what I mean? Like seeking to bless others and build relationships of trust. But many of these can be things you adapt just a little bit and do just as a family as well that'll bring greater connection and meaning this holiday season together. So I'm really giving you these as idea starters. I'm not going to give you here's like a checklist for each of them. I think some of these you're going to go, oh yeah, we've done that, or I've heard of that, or yeah, we've been meaning to. This is really going to give you sort of 10 ideas for idea starters, all right? So here's the first one. You could have like a little birthday party for baby Jesus, all right? And this is especially for children. Tina and I did this with our kids when they were younger and growing up, and now we're starting to do it with the grandkids again, where before we would open the gifts, we'd always, you know, pre-made a birthday cake or sometimes cupcakes, and we would come out and we would sing happy birthday to Jesus. And we would talk about it. Sometimes we'd read the Christmas story and just kind of make it Jesus' birthday, right? Now, you could also organize a special birthday party for your kids and their friends with a focus on the birth of Jesus as well. Right? Think about it. You could tell friends and neighbors that are close, like, hey, we're doing a little birthday party for Jesus. It's something our kids really love. Love it if your kids wanted to come and kind of get in the Christmas spirit and focus on, you know, the reason for the season, so to speak. You'd be surprised how many people would be thankful for something like that because they feel like, wow, we kind of focus on Santa and the gifts, but we would love our kids to have a bigger thing, right? So maybe plan for some appropriate crafts and fun activities to go along with that, some yummy treats and stuff like that, and plan a story time for telling the Bible's Christmas story. If you have the Jesus Storybook Bible, that one's beautiful in there. You can get a beautiful little short Christmas story. If you want to go to our website and look around resources, the Story of God for Kids has a Christmas narrative in it. And you know what I'd say? Get as many of the moms and dads involved as you possibly can too. So as you invite the kids and the parents are like, oh, that'd be great. Say, hey, you guys can come too. We're gonna have some adults next too. You'll love it. So, all right. So that's one idea you might dig doing. All right. Here's the second thing. How about the old fashioned, old school neighborhood caroling group, right? You could still do that. Tina and I were talking about this. My wife Tina and I, we were talking about this the other day, and she says, I would love it if someone stopped by caroling out in front of the house. Like, it would just be so Christmassy. Snow or no snow, right? And you could do that. And you could do it using a mixture of Christmas songs that are Christian, right, in nature, and secular favorites like Jingle Bells and stuff like that, right? And people would love it. And it really isn't like about how awesome it would be. If you just dressed up and had red scarves and someone had a Santa hat on or something, and you just strolled around and you stopped in front of a house for a little while and did a part of a song, you'd only need to know a handful because you're going to be moving from house to house, right? So you could repeat your set list, so to speak, all right? Now, instead of traveling, if the walking around seems, you know, weird or intrusive, you could do it in your front yard or out in the cul-de-sac, like if you live on one or near one, right? And you could set up a nice little set, like if it's your own yard, little set, like, you know, with candles or Christmas lights, or I know some people have little nativities. You could have a fire pit going, and you could invite people to come out and join you in singing some Christmas carols, right? Like that, like a caroling thing. And that's kind of a nice social distancing option, I think, right? Because it'd be outside. And there again, you'd be surprised how many people are sick and tired of being holed up. And if you said, hey, you know what? 6 o'clock Saturday, we're doing a little caroling out in front of our yard. Anybody come, don't worry, you will know these songs and we'll have some little handout sheets. You could do something simple, right? And I think you'd be surprised. You really, really might. All right, here's the third thing. Sort of the same, a little variation on that. Christmas sing-along. Invite people to your home or deck, maybe with a fire pit, you know, and some warm beverages, and do a little Christmas sing-along. So it's not caroling per se. And here's what I'd suggest. You could do it a cappella, right? That's kind of what caroling is. Or just sing along with recordings. Put on Spotify with a speaker and just play some of your favorite stuff and sing along and have some, just say, hey, we want to get together and sing some, you know, Christmas stuff. And I know it's kind of corny for some, but others will love it. And this could also be a fun thing to do on Christmas Eve, given that so many churches will not be having their usual Christmas Eve services, right? So you could say, hey, Christmas Eve, right before dinner, right after dinner, we're going to have a little sing-along. And you could do it in your house, if depending on where you live, if that's, you know, still safe and allowed. Or you could do it outside and tell people, just dress up and we'll have some hot chocolate and cider. And right? Now, here's another variation on that. Maybe you do it as a Christmas Eve candlelight sing-along. And you could do it anytime you want. Have warm drinks to start things off. Sing 4 to 6 simple favorite holiday songs. And then end by holding those little white, you know, those little white candles like we use in most church services probably your whole life. They have a little paper, you know, circle around them while you sing Silent Night. And people would love that. If you say, hey, we're going to do a candlelight sing-along, bring the kids, whatever. So it's kind of a variation of the caroling travel or the sing-along at home, but now it's a candlelight thing. See, and you can mix and match all this stuff, right? And by the way, you can get a package of those candles, like the ones you probably used, you know, a million times in church services, at Amazon. And they're like 150 of them for $20, right? It's crazy. I'll throw a link in the show notes, but you can find it. Just go to Amazon and put in like Christmas white handheld candle or something like that. I found it in 2 seconds, right? Now, you could also take that idea and sort of pump it up by hosting it as a mini candlelight Christmas Eve service. Okay, where the Christmas story is read from the Bible or another book. You could pray for each other, for God to bless and prosper everyone in the new year, and express gratitude for God sending Jesus to us as the light of the world. That takes it to the next level. So it's a candlelight sing-along, and you're doing it on Christmas Eve, but you can tell people, hey, I know a lot of, you know, church communities aren't doing a Christmas Eve service this year. They can't. We're going to do a little mini one. And you just tell them, we're going to read the Christmas story. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to have the candles. We're going to pray for one another. And you could say, we're just going to do it for about an hour. There again, I think it'd be very, very popular. And be surprised how many people, a Christmas Eve service has been sort of their tradition and their thing forever. And they would thank you for it. It'll be a beautiful and simple little thing. And you can make it as simple or as elaborate as you wanted, right? And you could do it indoor, outdoor, depending on your comfort level or theirs or, you know, any restrictions that are local or whatever have you. All right, here's another one. And maybe you've already done this. You could hand out treats to your neighbors, right? Prepare some of your favorite Christmas treats like cookies or brownies or whatever, you know, and put them in little cool, attractive containers, you know, tins or decorated boxes or little baskets or whatever. You can get all that stuff like at the dollar store. And then take that stuff to some of the neighbors around you, especially those that you think may be people of peace, those people leaning into relationship that you want to develop or deepen your relationship in the next year, right? And I'd say it's fun to take your entire family, you know, with you, the kids included, to deliver those. So don't make it like a tat. The cookies are almost just the reason to show up and go, hey, Merry Christmas and all that, right? And here's a little like pro user tip. Put your name and phone number, maybe email address, on a little note that's included, right? That way they'll know how to get a hold of you. And if things are up, you know, they just have it or they want to reciprocate and invite you to something. See, we're building relationship here, right? Now, you say, well, that would have been great to do before Christmas. You could so do that in the week between Christmas and New Year's and just call it New Year's cookies or New Year's brownies or, right? It doesn't even matter. No one is going to be bummed when you show up with a smile on and the kids all laughing and having fun and hand them some goodies, right? Now, you know what? A variation of this too is you could also make, like, you know, with your kids or neighborhood kids and deliver simple Christmas ornaments. Right? I know there's so many ways you can do that. I'm not an expert on that, but you could certainly Google that. There's even kits you can get, I know for sure. All right? That could be really, really fun. All right, here's my sort of sixth idea. Now, by the way, you can combine some of these things with other things, okay? So they're idea starters. A little Christmas card and a note and a photo and all that. That's what one of the things that Tina and I did this year. What we did was we just found some Christmas cards that we liked that were bulk on Amazon, very, very inexpensive. And we put a little note in there going, hey, wow, what a crazy year it's been. But it's been great living in this neighborhood with you. Looking forward to the next year. I bet you are too. Something like that, right? I can't remember exactly what it said. And then we put our phone numbers and our address and our email addresses just so people would have them. And then we also put a little picture of ourselves in there. So, right, we're kind of tying it to, oh, yeah, Caesar and Tina, we've met them, right? Or if they know us. And on the back of that photo, we also put a little sticker with our names and phone numbers and email address. See? And that way, if they lose the, you know, the little card, Christmas card goes gone. That photo is laying around. Caesar and Tina, here's how to get a hold of them. Because we invite people to things and open tables and happy hours and barbecues and stuff throughout the year. And this brings familiarity. And you'd be surprised how many people will keep something like that and be grateful. Maybe stick it in a drawer, stick it up on their fridge, right? This could also be combined with a gift of like cookies or jam or small holiday candle or an invitation to your Christmas sing-along, right? You know, the next day. And so like we just kind of went to all 92 of our neighbors here. We have a little subdivision that's just that many people. And we probably know about half of them. Yeah. You don't have to be that elaborate. You might just do it on, you know, the people in your blocks, you know, or across the, you know, like this block only or whatever. That's just how we chose to do it because this is a super walk-in neighborhood and everybody walks and we see each everybody. And we probably, like I said, we probably know close to half the people. I just over, you know, being friendly and being people of peace and finding people of peace. So now not everybody's home. So you got to leave those. And that's another reason we leave the photo and our number and all that kind of stuff. All right. So number seven, how about throwing a little Christmas dinner party, right? You might still be able to do that depending on where you're at. And it might be real small, it might be a couple or two or whatever. It might be a smaller little group, maybe two to four other couples over a dinner in your home. And you can say, hey, we're wanting to have just a little Christmas dinner. You're very special to us. We want to do that. It could also be done as a Christmas brunch. We pretty much every year we have Christmas dinner. It's big kind of deal with Team K, and there's usually lots of extra people there. But we also do a brunch because some people who are real special to us say, hey, we really want to hang out with Team K, but you know, I got to go to my family thing at the same time you're having your family thing. So we started adding the brunch too. So we get up, we have a little brunch, and then we usually lay around and watch a movie, and then we have dinner later. And some people come and do all of it. Now, another alternative to this would be to make sure you invite at least, like if you don't want to do a full dinner, right, you know, and like host that, Here would be my alternative for you. Be sure to you invite at least one person or couple to join you for your Christmas dinner. Now I know some places are like, well, you're supposed to just be with your family and all that, and you have to vote your conscience and confidence there and all that. I know we'll still have some people that we kind of do life with, and we've been seeing them consistently throughout, you know, this COVID-19 thing. But I would say at least have that, right? At least do that. You don't have to have crazy fear around that, but you vote your conscience. I would say here's a little tip. Try and have small gifts for whoever you have. So like if they're coming to your family's thing, try to have a small gift for each of them so they're not left out during the time you open gifts. Or you could be sure to have already done that gift, you know, opening and stuff before they arrive so as not to make them feel awkward. Either way, even if you did, it's kind of nice to give them a little something that's appropriate, you know, a candle or a little, I don't know, gift card to Starbucks or something like that, right? Just people, for some people we've had come and say, well, that'll be the only gift I'll get this year. I'm not joking. And they're great people. They're not like shut-ins or anything, but they just don't have family and they're not connected to theirs or something. So they're not sending or receiving anything. So these things go a long way. So a little dinner party, maybe a little fun, little Christmas dinner party or brunch, or at least invite, you know, one person or couple to join you. Here's another idea, number eight, is decide to treat another family like part of your family this year. All right. Think of someone in the neighborhood you know who has maybe a special need or someone who recently lost a loved one or was widowed. Maybe it's someone you know that lost a job or they've struggled with health problems or something, you know, someone who you know could use a little extra love this year. And you could even help organize neighbors, you know, to do this with you, something special, sort of like a community Christmas gift of sorts. And try to help and encourage that person this year, right? Or that family. Treat another family like part of your family that needs help. We're working on that as Team K right now. We've been, right? I'm recording this before Christmas, but yeah, to do the same thing. We're trying to, hey, this family, part of our family this year, right? And I'd plan, you know, if you're going to do whatever, you know, I'd plan it ahead. You might have missed it for this year, right? That's okay. Here's an idea for next year. And if you don't know someone you'd want to do this for, like some people say, well, I wish I did, but I don't know my neighbors all that well yet. There are plenty of organizations that can help you with this. And things like Angel Tree, you've probably heard of, maybe your church has done it, where a Christmas tree with little tags, right? And they give you a family. Maybe your church family is organizing something like this. Or maybe another church is, and you know, you could you found out about it, or you could probably find out about it just with a little Googling. And I'm sure they would love to have you join in by selecting a family or a child to bless this Christmas. Here's some other ways you can find families in need. The American Red Cross will hook you up. They totally will. Salvation Army, they always know families in need. And most local soup kitchens or food pantries will as well. Okay. And through, you know, any of those types of organizations, you can also generally go and help prepare either Christmas meals or package, you know, Christmas gifts that have been donated or whatever. You could help serve Christmas meals. And there are definitely ways to do this safely. Trust me, you know, Salvation Army, soup kitchens, food pantries, they've all figured out how to, we're going to keep doing this. People are even in more need this year with a lot of job loss and stuff like that. So there's ways to do it safely. Don't fear it. You don't have to. They'll know. And remember, we always kind of want to make these types of decisions from faith, right? Pray about this stuff. Let God decide. Here's another kind of way to help with food and kind of, you know, blessing a family, whatever. You could put together sort of a holiday dinner / gift box, right? That's a cool thing, I think, is you put together during the holiday season like a gift box that contains a complete dinner and some sort of wrapped up gifts for everyone in the family that you want to bless. So let's see how it's kind of a hybrid of the other one, like pick a family you want to bless, right? With something like you're going to treat them like family and invite them or just give them a gift or whatever. But you could, this is a hybrid. You could box up a full meal with some small little gifts. And this doesn't have to cost a ton of money for you to do. It really doesn't. You can spend as much as you want or as little, really. I don't think anybody's going to be, you know, looking a gift horse in the mouth, right? There's no right or wrong way to create a gift box. And the best part about it is you can use your imagination and you can get your kids involved in it. And you can also invite friends and other neighbors to help you do it. Or let's do several, right? So here's some examples. I mean, you know, ideas for how you put together a holiday in a box. It might be a good thing to call it, right? Put together like a complete ham or chicken dinner. Ham's kind of a good one because it's pre-cooked, right? And it doesn't require a long time to heat up. No one can really blow that. And then, you know, also throw in the box all the trimmings. So, you know, appropriate to either ham or chicken or whatever you choose. You know, like a bag of potatoes, maybe the fixings for a salad, tomatoes, cucumbers, some lettuce, whatever, dressing, right? Throw in a bag of buns or rolls or some croissants, maybe a little bit of butter, a couple cans of corn or a bag of frozen veggies, something like that. Some cranberry sauce. That's always fun. Believe me, chicken, ham, doesn't matter. It's just kind of Christmassy. It's kind of festive, right? And maybe a jar of gravy to go along with that. Then put some dessert. Put it like a pie. Put some whipped cream, can of whipped cream topping or something like that, right? And then add in appropriate gifts that are sort of age appropriate for everyone in that family, if you know it. And if not, you can do generic-y things. It's nicer when it's an actual shopped and wrapped gift. But we've had to do it at times where we don't know, so we give little Amazon gift cards. People will generally pick their own things and be happy for it. And this is another place where your family and friends and community can really chip in and help out. So if you do get gifts, wrap them nicely. Make them look great, right? Don't just put one big bag with stuff in it. Like, treat people like you'd love to be treated, right? And if you know the names of the family members, write their name on the tag. That's a cool thing. And if not, just try to do it best you can and buy something that says like girl age 12, right? Or boy age 8, you know, or something like that. Adult female. Okay, so you don't stress any of it. Now, there's a couple of ways you can give these gift boxes. So if you're worried about it or it feels awkward, you could just give it to them and say, hey, you know, we heard, you know, you might love something like this Christmas. Everybody could use a little more cheer and joy. You don't have to point out, like, I heard you're having the worst year of your life and suck and you're broke. And, you know, you can just say, hey, right, we heard you guys could use a little extra cheer. We sure could too. Anyway, so here it is, right? But you could do it anonymously, you know? And, you know, sometimes, maybe not often, but you'll come across a family who may be embarrassed by their situation, so that would bless them actually more, where it just, you know, through either the organization you found them out or some other way, you could do it more anonymously. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is embarrass people, right? Even though they might really enjoy getting it, but some people just feel super awkward. Because remember, this is about helping and showing that you care and showing them God's love and really His glory, what He's like, because He's loving and generous, and He cares for them. He sent His Son, Jesus, at this time of the year, right, for us. Well, I mean, not historically, but you know what I mean? That's when we celebrate it, right? So if you want to do it anonymously, there you go, then you could arrange for it's a delivery service or maybe a friend to say, hey, someone got all this stuff for you and I'm just delivering it. Merry Christmas, right? And boom. So there you go. Or maybe through the organization that connected you with them. You deliver it to them, they deliver it, okay? Now, you can also do it this way, delivered by Santa. That's kind of a fun way, especially if there's kids. So you could either leave it or drop it off and go, hey, Santa left this at the wrong house. Merry Christmas, you guys. I'm so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. These are my kids. Hope you guys have a great Christmas. And, you know, here's connection. Here's our number and stuff. You want to let us know what Santa brought. Merry Christmas. And you could even dress up as Santa or have a friend do that, right? Make it super special. Pretty cool, right? Now, last but not least, number 10 here, ways to, you know, be a blessing and live on mission, right? Which is just making disciples and helping people move from unbelief to belief about God and who he is and what he's like. Is, believe it or not, cash. Yeah, last but not least, cash. Cash is always a winner for people who have needs. And this can be for like one family where you hook them up with, you know, some cash to help pay bills or a nice sized gift card at the local grocery store or maybe a grocery store one and an Amazon one for gifts or, you know, a store you know they're going to have clothes and toys and food. Like Walmart's great for that. A single mom or an individual or whatever. Or you could do smaller gifts given out to several people. So when I say cash, it's not necessarily meaning you have to stuff, you know, wads of bills into an envelope, though you could. But you can always get those, I think they're Visa cash cards, right? Prepaid, you can get those at pretty much every local grocery store. Or you give one to a place you know that everybody can find stuff they're going to need. So like a Walmart or other major store chain where they can buy food or other necessities or toys or clothes or whatever they want, right? So there you go. There's a whole bunch of ideas, hopefully to get you started. Hopefully you'll you know, find something in there that trips your trigger. And there again, you're hearing this and you're probably thinking, oh, it's too late this year. No, it's not. It really isn't. Even if you go, oh, we should have done the Christmas card thing. Just do a holiday one. Get a card that says Happy Holidays and deliver it in the week between. Listen, no one's going to be bummed. They're all going to be grateful for the touch and for the effort that you cared. I promise you. All right. So let me give you a few big takeaways, right? In our big three, this is the time when I want to do that. I want to leave you with the three big takeaways. If nothing else, you don't want to miss the big three thoughts or ideas here. And as always, you can get a printable PDF of this week's big three as a download by going to everydaydisciple.com/big3. everydaydisciple.com/big3. And what I'll do is I will put the list of these 10 ideas, and not with all the descriptors, because hopefully you'll remember them from the, you know, this episode, or you can go back and re-listen, but I'll add an extra page that's got all 10 of these ideas, you know, kind of their titles, so as to remind you, so you could print this big three off, and then you have that list, and you could sit and talk through it as a family, pray through it and all that, okay? Here's the big three. First, seeing everyone as family and treating them as such is really a great place to start if you want to be missional this holiday season, okay? There are people all around you that are alone and they're dying for community. I promise there are always, and maybe even especially this year. Opening up your life, your heart, and home to include them into your family's holiday traditions, right? And your time is a powerful way to show them God's love. And because you're inviting them into your own family time and rhythms, it says to them, hey, you're part of this family too. Isn't that beautiful? So don't miss that. Treating other people like family, great place to start. Second, let's remember, Jesus was also called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Let's model that to others. Yeah, let's model that. Let's be with others. Many of us were raised to believe that Christmas and the holidays is a time to sort of unplug from outside world, outside relationships, and our normal community rhythms. And many Christians also tend to isolate away from their small groups or their missional communities. That, well, we just kind of took a break and we're just hunkering down and being isolated. I would say being selfish a little bit, right? You know, and so, and they isolate from those that they really could be pressing into for closer relationship. I'd say use the flexibility that your schedule may allow during the holidays to be with people. No huge goals for outcomes or worries about what to say or do. Just be present this holiday season, asking the Spirit to guide you how you use your time and with whom. I think you'd be glad you did. If you prayed over this list and asked God who to be with and how to spend your time, I promise you, you know, you'll know. So here's number three. Make a list of these 10 items, or print it off, better yet, and discuss them as a family and or even as a community. If your missional community or small group's been getting together online, say, hey, I got an idea, and I'm going to email you this list, a link to this episode. Please listen to it, print this off. We're going to get on, and we're going to talk through this and maybe do some of this together. Pray and ask the Spirit to guide you to, you know, one or more of these ideas for you to live as a blessing to others this holiday season, okay? Don't put it off. Pick at least one and go for it. Get started. And then maybe then put together a wish list for things that you'd like to queue up for next year. How about that? Well, that's about it. Again, Merry Christmas. This will probably be the last time I talk to you before Christmas or right around there. So Merry Christmas. I'm so thankful for you. May God bless you richly this year. And I hope that you'll have time to bring your focus to the richness of the gift that is Jesus. If you didn't listen to the Advent series over the last 4 weeks, the previous 4 weeks, that might be a really nice thing to do to just warm up your heart and your family's heart. Just go back, listen to those episodes for sure. Okay? Now, please join me next week. I'll be doing our traditional New Year's sort of wrap-up with a look forward to next year. And I couldn't be more excited because I have a very cool and special guest who's joining me. Should I tell you who it is? Huh? Okay, it's my past co-host, and he's still my announcer for the podcast, and he's my really good pal and brother, it's Heath Hollinsby. Yeah, woo! Yep, he's going to be joining me, and we're going to be kind of, you know, you'll get a little update on what he's been up to, and we'll kind of talk through our past year, and where some things are going next year, and our hopes and dreams for the podcast and our lives and all that. So I hope you'll join me for that. All right, once again, Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on this show and to get loads of free discipleship resources, visit everydaydisciple.com. And remember, you really can live with the spiritual freedom and relational peace that Jesus promised every day.